Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's, what is today? Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And that would be 6:30 p.m. on the mountainside. We are here every Tuesday at this time with a good friend of ours. His name is Ken Nielsen. And Ken is a gentleman that has used our services on the lead generation side for a long time. It's been many years, maybe even a decade or two. And recently he called me up and he said he was building something new and he wanted a lot of people to know about it. And we started talking about some of the things that we were talking about. And we were talking about different approaches so people can feel comfortable. There's a lot of confusion out there when it comes to a lot of things. There's a lot, too many choices maybe, and a lot of confusion, and a lot of scams, and a lot of people that just are trying hard, maybe with good intentions, but just don't know what they're doing. And they're looking to make it in a home-based business because they have to. And regardless of whatever government figures they tell you about inflation, you might as well double or triple or maybe even quadruple that. So, I mean, that's crazy. We know what the government is doing with the artificially inflated numbers or deflated numbers relative to that. So there's a lot of people out there that are looking to be able to make some extra money, work from home, increase their health, you know, chop down what they pay the government as far as taxes legitimately, all that sort of good stuff. And Ken and I were speaking, and we were talking about doing a radio show so we could discuss these things so you can feel comfortable with Ken and I relative to these things. You'll be working with Ken on this specific program, but you might be using our tools when it comes to building some of the things that you're building with your business. So to help generate that comfort level, I said, let's sling some radio shows together so people can hear us chatter and talk and discuss different and various things. So this way you can feel comfortable that if you did join a business with Ken, that, you know, he's going to shoot you straight, give you the right answers. If he doesn't know the answer, he'll come and get some other questions for you, and you'll have the best chance of becoming successful building that home-based business. So we're going to talk a little bit about home-based businesses as an option on the tail end of the radio show after the commercial break. But the first thing I want to do is say to Ken Nielsen, thanks for being here on your own show. This is the Count on the Truth radio show with the domain name countonthetruth.com. So, Ken, thanks for being here.
Hello, Peter. And first of all, thanks very much for the kind words. I appreciate that. I kind of wonder if I can live up to some of the things that you allude to, because it's pretty important to make sure that people get the right information and the correct information. So, in fact, when we were talking just a little bit earlier, something that came across my mind, it happened earlier in my lifetime, a while ago, and what that has to do with is the ability to communicate, which isn't always easy at times, but I was thinking about a particular incident. I've been a ham radio operator since I was 15 years old, and back when you had to take that test, you had an old Morse code, and some of the you had to draw diagrams and circuits that referred to the way that the radio worked, et cetera, et cetera. But I was on the they have an award for people that chase what they call DX stations around the world, and you have to have so many of those stations confirmed to get this DXCC100 contact award. And I was tuning on 14 megahertz one afternoon because I was getting ready to go to the place where we had a organized group where they had stations from out of the United States check in, and then the people in the United States would call them to confirm their communications. And as I tuned down the band, I heard a higher-pitched voice, and as I tuned in on it, there was a gal there, and she was hollering, "Mayday, Mayday, SOS, Mayday." And I thought, this has got to be somebody's, it's a prank is all it is. Somebody's on there playing with somebody's radio. So I listened for a little while, and she just kept saying the same thing over and over, "Mayday, Mayday, SOS, 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 help me." And usually you don't hear SOS unless it's on what we call Morse code. And so you thought it was kind of unique that they were doing it that way. But anyways, I tried to make a call about three different times to see if she could hear me. and she never came back to me. So I switched over to a different antenna that's more directional and find out which direction she was coming from. And I thought, what I'll do is I'll slide up the band where we're having this DX group meet, and I'll call on there and get somebody to go down and see if they can contact this person. So I went up to 14.185, got in there, broke in, and I says, hey, you guys, there's somebody down that sounds like they need help, but I don't know if it's for real or not. You need to go down to 14.167 and see if you can contact this gal. Well, they slid down. They gave a call, and one of the stations actually got a hold of her, and they said, what can we do to help you? And she said, my husband is really sick. We don't have any way to help him, et cetera. And they said, what's your location? And they were 160 miles. Let's see, it would have been southwest of Hawaii on a sailboat. So they were out in the middle of nowhere, and that's why I guess her husband just was trying to help her talk on the radio because he was in such bad shape he couldn't do it himself. So probably within 5 minutes after they found out this was for real, listening on that same frequency, on came the Coast Guard. And I thought, wow, isn't this crazy how from just hearing this, I couldn't make contact. They made contact with California. California made contact with her. They got hold of the Coast Guard. And here I am listening to the Coast Guard talk to her. Anyways, make a long story short, they ended up sending help out there, got a hold of him, took care of him. Everything turned out okay. And I always wondered what happened on that particular incident because I was just kind of a player on the side. And he had gotten food poisoning of some sort and was in really bad shape. But 160 miles southwest of Hawaii, out in the middle of nowhere, is on the water. That's got to be a pretty frightening experience for somebody. So, but the reason I brought that story up real quick was just sometimes you only get one shot at doing things and you say to yourself, what if? Why not take 30 seconds, 60 seconds to find out what's going on? And it could change your life or help somebody else change their life. So, and as Ben Franklin said, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. And I think that's really true. So, anyways, I appreciate you being here, Peter, and hopefully we'll have a fun program for tonight.
Well, it kind of fits into something I learned a long time ago. I learned a lot of stuff. I customize a lot of the stuff that I've learned towards, you know, the applications that we have over here. When I was with Electrolux, I had a gentleman that used to describe people and or branch managers as one of three. They were builders, maintainers, or destroyers. Mm. So I'll give you a brief explanation so it sticks. So I ran some Electrolux offices, and my manager happened to be called Ron DeSantis, not the Ron DeSantis that's the governor of Florida, but they have similar names. And Ronnie, we used to call him, or Mr. D, when he was talking to me about putting a branch manager in, he'd say, listen, that office has run, I'm going to mention a number, 50 sales a month for the last 3 years. If you put in a maintainer, it's going to maintain that level. So a maintainer is going to keep it at 50, 48, 52, 53, 49, something like that. That's what maintainers do. They can kind of hold it at a steady level. A builder, if a builder in his mind or her mind has the idea that this is a 100 sale a month branch and beyond, he or she will get it up to the 100 level. So that's what builders do. They hire the right people. They tweak the salespeople that are currently there. They do all the things that are necessary. That's what builders do. A destroyer would have that store down to 40 sales probably the first month he takes over, then maybe 30, and maybe you might even have to close. If you keep the destroyer in there, you'll probably have to close the store because it eventually become non-profitable. We're non-profit is not a good news. Non-profit sounds good if you're helping people in a church. But if you're a nonprofit and you're a business, that's not good. So what I expanded that to was there's different types of reactions or behaviors. So you're a builder. You're a natural – so I'm talking to Ken. Ken's a natural builder. A maintainer might have just said, oh, you know, when he's talking to his friends a couple hours or days later, it was so weird that day I heard a SOS signal And I could have even thought it was a prank or whatever, but I just figured I'll just leave it alone and somebody else might handle it. That's what a maintainer would do. Basically nothing. Now, a destroyer, I don't know how a destroyer might do it. Maybe a destroyer might tangle them up and call them and report them for being a prank. But a builder is what you did. So building behavior is what you did. You went the extra mile, and then you went a little bit more, and you went a little bit more. You kept your mind clear for common sense, you know, and you could have found out probably if it was a joke or a prank or something like that. But that's what builders do. And builders, like in certain aspects, you probably saved that gentleman's life, whether you realize it or not. And that's what builders do. So that's one of the reasons why we call this Building Fortunes Radio, is because it doesn't happen by accident. It's a constant and a conscious decision to constantly build. Steps in the right direction every day. Go in the extra mile when no one else does. And the reason why I kind of mention that now as a result of your story is yours is a good builder story. That's what builders do. So building things happen all the time. I got a phone call a little bit earlier this week from an older woman. And I have to watch what I say when it comes to older, because I'm approaching older. I have now become that older person. So it was an older woman, and she said, "Why did you call me?" And I, only because I'm familiar with how things work, it was probably an outside foreign call center that used my phone number for the caller ID. So when she picked up, my phone number showed up, but I didn't make the call. So she called me up, and she said, "Why did you call me?" So I have to consciously at this point say, what do I want to do? Do I want to do a destroyer answer, a maintaining answer, or a building answer? So it's always like, well, what are you, Peter? Well, a destroyer answer would be, hey, lady, go to hell. You know, hang up. I didn't call you. No, it's whatever. That's what a destroyer does. A maintainer might have said, ma'am, it wasn't me. It was somebody that put something on the caller ID. A builder realizes that she doesn't know what's going on, and she now may be available for fraud. So I said, you know what? What would I want? She's probably somebody's mom. What would I want somebody to do if their mom was in, you know, unknown waters? Well, spend a little bit of time with her. Explain to her what happens and why it happened and maybe how it might happen to her. You know, add a little bit of glimmer to her life, even though she kind of said, why are you calling me? Or why did you call me? Kind of like with a nasty attitude. But I turned her around, and we had a nice conversation. And I may never know how that conversation helped her out, but the bottom line is it may have saved her life savings, because some of these foreign guys, they get in front of these older people that are less knowledgeable, and they'll wind up making a stupid mistake, given permission to that person, they'll steal their bank account, their life savings, or whatever. So I may have saved her life savings. Now, I'll never know, just like maybe you'll never know. But that's what builders do. And when builders do that, it's the old boomerang effect of life. What you throw out is a little bit like a boomerang. It comes back. Here's what I've learned. The boomerang of life, so here's my little philosophy, is a little bit off. So like in a perfect boomerang, you throw it out, you get it back. My boomerang of life usually is I throw it out, it comes back not directly to me, but maybe to somebody else. So if I do good things happen to other people around me. If I were to dare to do a bad things happen because the boomerang hits somebody else in a bad way. So I've always learned the philosophy of, you can combine these two things. The builder philosophy works with my boomerang philosophy. And the reason why I say this, and so just so you know, I practice and preach this, the boomerang thing. You know, if anybody's ever been a jerk or did something wrong, and then all of a sudden their dog gets hit by a car, you know, you'd say the boomerang of life got the dog. Mm-hmm. Or if somebody ever did something wrong, like just nasty, and then all of a sudden, you know, they get into a car accident or somebody they know got into a car accident. I say that's the boomerang of life. Just remember, it doesn't hit you back. It hits something that's important to you back. So I've learned, I don't remember when I applied this lesson, but it's probably since I've been in my early 20s. I've learned that philosophy. just like I learned the builder maintaining and destroying philosophy in my early 20s. I've had a lifetime of testing these things. So that's why I say, Ken, and that's why I don't mind explaining it on this Building Fortunes radio show, is because who do you want to work with? You want to work with people that live this way. This isn't just a philosophy that's taught. This is a philosophy and a mindset that's lived. And I know you. This is what you do. I've had countless conversations with you. This is the kind of thing that you do. So your interesting story helped me extend our first segment. So let's take a little commercial break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Ken on countonthetruth.com. Here we go.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLead.com. Just visit www.networklead.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.networkleads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous blogs, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. NetworkLeads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
And we're back. Peter Mingles here with Ken Nielsen. We're talking about countonthetruth.com and some of life's lessons. And the reason why we cover this sort of stuff is Ken's building a business. He's looking for good people to be able to work with. So if you're looking to work either part-time, full-time, sometime, you know, big time, you can work with Ken. Go to countonthetruth.com. And I have to tell you, when we helped you start that website, you took it and you, like I said, this is what builders do. If you take a look at countonthetruth.com, if you could have looked at it when we first built it for him, we built a very basic where he can add simple posts to a website. And he said, hey, I want to do a little bit more than that. And if you take a look at countonthetruth.com, you'll see he's done a really great job. Really great job on that website. So my hat's off to you. And not that I'm surprised, because that's what builders do. So back to you.
Well, thanks again, Peter. Some really great insights. I like the fact how you've made that so simple with builders, maintainers, and destroyers. I mean, great insights. One of the other things I just wanted to ask real quick before you kind of come up with you're only as free as your options, because I think that's really a super catch here for this program. You mentioned last week that the franchise McDonald's, and in fact any of the franchises other than McDonald's, they were almost considered illegal at one time. And I thought maybe you could just expound on that just a little bit before we go to this kind of an exercise that you've got that kind of helps people that they're only as free as their options. If you think you've got time to do that, Peter, go ahead.
Sure, absolutely. So the McDonald's was the first franchise business model. So it was a new thing. So it was never done before. And the Congress looked at it and they basically said, because what was happening, what you do is you actually charge people for a business. Then with McDonald's, they pay royalties. And then also they're kind of locked in to a contract where they have to use this proven system that you have in place of duplication. And Congress just thought it was weird because it was new. And it was not like a traditional business. It wasn't like opening up a new Ford plant or opening up a new, you know, food processor, or opening up a grocery store. It was a unique business model where people were being charged with the royalties and everything else like that. So they actually tried to figure out if it was legal or not and try to see if it was illegal, but actually proved in the courts that it was legal. So McDonald's was the beginning one that actually did the franchise as a business model. And there's a lot of things that go on that are similar to MLM and network marketing companies and franchising. And then there are a lot of differences as well. So a lot of the similarities are duplication and the process and proven systems, and you don't have to do a lot of stuff on your own because the parent company is doing it. Those are the similarities. Some of the differences are the amount of investment, the amount of income disclosure, the type of income disclosure, the other types of disclosures you have to do. So buying a franchise sometimes could be anywhere from, on a low side, $20,000 or $30,000 to, you know, you get into the McDonald's or some of the other ones, the real name brands, into the millions of dollars to buy a franchise. So there's a lot more disclosure, legal work in a franchise than there might be in a traditional MLM company as a distributor. But that does kind of lean us into the topic of conversation. So when I was interviewed with my branch manager for Electrolux, he was, now I didn't know anything about anything. I was a brand new college student. And all I knew was that I wanted to be successful. Doing what? I didn't know. So I was kind of wide open. So, but I was open. Like, whatever it takes kind of a guy. That was me, you know. I went to school for biology and chemistry. One of the paths were to become a medical doctor, where I'd have to go to medical school, et cetera. So he said to me, okay, well, here's what we help you with. You know, you're only really as free as your options. Like, your options, your reasonable options. So he said, let's take a look at how much income do you want to make monthly? Or specifically, how much income monthly would give you the lifestyle that would turn you on? Now, using his words, I wasn't so crazy about the lifestyle that would turn me on. It's not really the way I talk, but that's the way he spoke. But I'm using that. What would give you the lifestyle that would turn you on as far as monthly income? So I'd ask him, you know, what do you mean lifestyle would turn me on? He says, well, do you want to own a house? Yes, I said. And then he said, well, what would your mortgage be? So remember, this is in the 1980s. So I'm going to give you 1980s numbers. So it's like, I don't know, $1,000, $1,500 a month. Now, that's nothing compared to a mortgage today, but that's what it was back then. How about a car? Would you want a car? You're going to buy it or lease it? You probably have a monthly payment, right? Like, yep. How about your wife? Now, I wasn't married at the time, but I was going to get married eventually. So we two cars. So two-car monthly payment, house. He's like, well, what do you want to do with the house? Do you want to furnish it with nice stuff, or do you want to kind of like, you know, some kind of a Zen home with, like, just bare walls and a rug? Like, no. We're going to need home. We're going to need furniture. You're going to want to go out to eat. You're going to want to go on vacation. You're going to want to, you know, have nice things. So we started to add up all these numbers. No one had ever done that with me before. My whole entire life, college, mom, dad, family members, friends, nobody ever did this before with me. How much income would I need to give monthly to give me the lifestyle that would really turn me on? So by the time we were done, it came out to be like $100,000 a year I would need to make. So he said, okay, that's a good starting point. That's a good starting point. It's not necessarily where you might want to stay, but maybe you do. I don't know. And again, this is 1980s numbers. He said, well, let's take a look at the professions. What kind of professions make $100,000 a year or more? Now, again, no one really ever asked me this question. Write it down, Peter. So we wrote it down. Who makes $100,000? You can do this, too, if you're listening in on the radio show. Who makes $100,000 a year? So one of the first things I said was, you know, professional people like doctors, lawyers, surgeons, you know, people like that, maybe accountants. Okay, write those down. Okay, who else? Actors. Actors make a lot of money. Singers, like musicians, like, you know, Phil Collins. Remember, I'm giving you 80s numbers. Doobie Brothers, you know, whoever it was back then. Rod Stewart, you know, they make a ton of money. Bands, you know, like Journey, Foreigner, Kansas, all these back in the 1980s. Most of you newfangled folks don't even know who these people are, although you've heard the radio shows before. So who else? Athletes. Athletes make that. Mike Tyson, right? Baseball players, football players. So we started to go down the line. Who makes that type of income? And he says, okay, now you're 22. Let's talk about the options for you. And let's talk about the real life options for you. If you wanted to be a boxer, Peter, at 22, you're in pretty good shape, but could you last against Mike Tyson in a ring? And the answer is hell no. Okay. Scratch off boxer. Not an option. Not being mean. It's just not being an option. How about football player? Well, I was fast and had good hands. I was the captain of the football team, but at my NFL level, and even if I was, well, what do I have to do? You know, the answer is not an option for me. I graduated from college. What do I do, go back to college? You can't even do that. Can't be an NFL player. Scratch that off. NBA, I can't jump, you know. Am I going to be like a singer? Nope. You could probably tell from my voice, probably not too good at that, right? So scratching all the stuff off. How about being a doctor? Well, I guess I could. What would it take? 4 years of medical school, 2 years of internship, a few more years of kind of getting yourself set up and starting a thing. You'll be heavily in debt. Is that really an option for you? So the answer is scratch that off too. How about a lawyer? Less school. But the reality is it could be 4 to 6 years from now before I become a lawyer. Scratch that off too. Holy cow, this isn't really looking very good. Franchise owner? Well, you got $100,000 to put down, and or $200,000 or $400,000. Scratch that off. What, am I going to be a real estate investor? I'm 22. I just graduated from school. I'm broke. Scratch that off. Ken, my options. There aren't many. There are not many. He said, sales. I said, sales? So sales is the only profession or one of the only professions where you can get started with nothing and learn. And within 2 to 5 years, be some of the highest paid people in any industry and certainly over 100,000. So direct sales. I said, wow. Then he said direct sales management. Remember, this is when I was being interviewed for Electrolux. And he was funneling my decisions down to why direct sales, why direct sales management. Then he went further, why Electrolux, and why him. So by the time it was done, it was a perfect Socratic, if you will, deduction that my only real option was direct sales management, and quite honestly, when he said, who else in your adult life have ever explained that to you, Peter? And the answer is, Joe, you're the first guy.
Right.
I realized, he didn't even have to say it. I knew that he was probably one of the only ones within my reach that could help me become successful. So that was in the 1980s. And by the way, I jumped on that opportunity and I was like Forrest Gump and I did what I was told. So I became an area vice president, made a ton of money, way over $100,000, many years in a row. And as a result of that, learned my mindset to be able to do my own thing in my own company, where we went on, and the IRS might be listening, to make barely a living. Just so you know, if the IRS is listening, we barely scratch a living every year. But the reality was is I kind of made a lot of money in building my own business. But the sincere reality was, he didn't tell me about MLM. MLM was not an option. And MLM, sincerely, was even better than direct sales and direct sales management because of the leverage that you get in MLM. So more people can do it part-time. More people, you can make a bigger difference in your life. You have a whole entire company and huge group of people conspiring to help you build your business. So MLM and becoming a leader in MLM is really your best option. So I gave you the example of how I learned it to be true to the way I learned it. But remember I said a little bit earlier, I've always learned stuff and then adapted it to the situation I was in. The way I just said, MLMers have that better possibility towards making that $100,000 or whatever the number is that you want. I just got off the phone, and then I'll let you say something, even though we're going a little bit long. I just got off the phone with a gentleman that called me up before the beginning part of the year and said, hey, Peter, how you doing? Want to make sure you're still alive, blah, blah, blah. Things are going well over here, and I might want to use your services in the next year, but I'll call you at the beginning of the year. Well, I called him up recently. He's literally on his way to a couple of foreign countries, and he makes millions of dollars a year in this industry. Millions of dollars a year in this industry. And he started with nothing. And how do I know he started with nothing? Because I sold him some of his first lead packages a long time ago when he started with nothing. So it wasn't only me that helped him, but it was this industry. He found an industry where the option that he had now allows him to go all over the world because he chooses to. He doesn't have to. He chooses to. He could do nothing if he wants. and make a lot of money. But the reality is that's what happens in this industry. So MLM and becoming an MLM leader could be one of your best options. So back to you, Ken.
No, it's, again, many thanks for the insights. They're just, it's just fantastic stuff to kind of break things down to basics and make it simple for people to understand. And it opens up a can of worms because I've been taking notes here, and I could we could make this radio program go on for another hour, actually. But we'll be kind to the audience, and we'll continue some of this conversation on the next program. I just want to throw this in real quick, Peter, is that I don't think people understand how great the tax benefits are either, and the fact that you can start from, like you were just mentioning, almost nothing, and then overcome the financial burdens, obstacles, and turn it into a winning situation. And especially, like I said, with the things that are going on right now, because I had to do my homework and my search, my self-education, so to speak, before I made a decision to join companies or the organization that's going on right now. And it's incredible. So you just got to take a few moments, like I said, and do whatever you can to kind of open your own eyes and say, okay, is this really viable? Is this one of the options I've been thinking over, or is it as good as somebody else has told us that it is? And you'll know. It's just a matter of taking a look. So, again, many thanks. Appreciate your time. And we'll throw some more subjects, some more content, ideas, concepts in there next go around, because you've really opened a can of worms here, believe it or not. And we'll catch up with that in the next go around. So off we go, and back to you, Peter.
Yeah, that's it. So if you do that little exercise on a piece of paper and you scratch out the ones that aren't the options, it'll be a realistic situation where people will find that MLM is probably the best option for most people in their situation, because they can't stop everything they're doing. Like, you can't give up on your family and go to school for 6 or 12 years if you already have a family. You got to provide for your family. You know, if you're not in athletic shape, you're not going to be an athlete no matter what you do. It's not an option for you. Sorry. It's not being mean. It's just being real. So, you know, franchises, all that sort of stuff, and if you take a look at it internationally, globally, with the internet the way it is and the things that we can teach you, there's no reason why you can't do it here. Anyway, so thanks for everybody for listening.
Like we said before, you hit it right on the head. And if you can't count on the truth, what can you count on?
That's it, onthetruth.com. We'll catch everybody next week. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.